Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Doing okay? Y'all look okay. Most of you. Got a Bible with you? Turn with me to, turn with me to the book of Numbers. We're in the book of Jeremiah, and we will continue in the book of Jeremiah, but today we're going to be talking to you about a little Thanksgiving message, and actually Jeremiah doesn't have a lot about Thanksgiving, and there's a whole lot of darkness in the book of Jeremiah. And, of course, he follows it with the book of Lamentations, which is even more lamentable in many ways. But actually, we find in the book of Lamentations, turn with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, turn to that book, chapter 11. But in Lamentations, Jeremiah also writes, he writes, I think, a verse that we need to let roll around in our heads. I'm going to give you several of those, actually, today. Need to roll around in our heads during the holidays, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas or all this season in which we get so much but are grateful for so little, it seems. Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? What a great verse. What business do you have or I have in any way complaining about whatever situation you're in any way considering you're not getting what you actually do deserve? You don't even want to, the topic of your sins, by the grace of God, through the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, is not a topic with God anymore. So the topic of complaint should also not be a topic with you at all. Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. And this is such an important verse, I think, for us during this holiday, especially Thanksgiving season. We're going to be, speaking this morning, not necessarily about Thanksgiving, but the alternate or the opposite of Thanksgiving, and that's complaining. In fact, I'm of the conviction that if we'll remove the complaints from our lives, Thanksgiving will naturally flow. It's sort of like a dike or a dam that's stopping up the flow of what really should be coming out of our lives. I mean, really, I've been saved from my sins, I've been rescued, I've got a home in heaven, and God is blessing my life in so many ways, and even when times are hard, He's still blessing me, and we're going to see that today, but I don't want to have a conversation about my sins at all, and I shouldn't complain, and therefore I shouldn't complain. And if I'm complaining, maybe I'm bringing up the topic of my sins, and I really don't want to do that. So instead of talking about Thanksgiving, I want to talk to you about complaining. There was a man who was, he was a complainer. He was a knocker, knocked everything, and he inherited an enormous sum of money. But being the complainer that he was, when he actually, after taxes and all that stuff, still got millions, he complained about it because he didn't think it was the right amount that he should have gotten. And his wife was exacerbated by, just so frustrated with him. And anyway, this guy went and bought this very expensive home and on a substantial amount of acreage. And he asked his wife what she thought that he should name this place that he's bought with all this money that he inherited. And she, being very frustrated with him and his sarcastic complaining attitude, she said, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" Thought it was great. Seems like complaining is the national pastime anymore. We have people that never had more than we've ever had in this nation, and yet it seems those that get the most, have the most, complain the most. Complain, complain, complain. Entitled, entitled, entitled. Wow. We're going to see together that the sin of complaining is a sin that really stinks in the nostrils of God. As it says in the scriptures, God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh consecutive 24-hour day, and on the eighth 24-hour consecutive day, He started taking complaints. And that's, I've heard that before, and I never really thought about it, but that's truly, actually, that's pretty much the way it was. Adam and Eve were not in the garden very long. Boom, they sin, and God goes to Adam in Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 3 and ask him what up, and notice what Adam's complaint is, or what he says. Adam said, "The woman who you gave to be with me," notice, who's he blaming? Yeah, he's blaming the woman, but actually he's ultimately blaming God who gave him the woman. And just a week ago he was excited about having her, but now, "She gave me from the tree and I ate." He's totally not responsible. He's a total doofus is what he is. He wasn't even tempted the way she was, and she fell through temptation. He fell just from being a total blockhead. the woman you gave me. But notice the spirit of this. Who's to blame? God's to blame. By the way, that's every time you complain, that's who you're complaining against. Because who's in charge? Where's your theology now? Be careful with that theology. Is he? Because if he's not, you got the wrong God. You certainly don't have the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the one who's in charge. He's in charge. He's never ever been anything other than in charge. And so when you complain, you're ultimately complaining against the one who's in charge. And we're going to see that in just a second. But let's consider how heinous, how horrible this ugly sin is to God. Because as we said, in all cases, ultimately our complaining is against God. It was true with the very first complaint. It's true to the very last one. It's true with whatever is going on in our lives. So complaining is a very serious sin. Let's take a look at it in Numbers chapter 11. Beginning in verse 1. Now, what you have here is you have a people who've been delivered from slavery. God came through 10 mighty miracles, mighty plagues, and delivered them from 200 years or 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they were miraculously saved through that process. He took them to the Red Sea, as if on dry land. It was for them. And then when they got to the other side, the Egyptian army, they tried to follow them in the Red Sea. Remember the story? It washed over them, killed the entire Egyptian army. Praising and thanking God. This is only months later, not many months later. Notice verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. They had nothing to complain about. 400 years of being slaves, and they're going to complain. In this case, it's about food. His anger was kindled because you can imagine why. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And the people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. And so the name of the place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the rabble, that's what complainers are, who were among them, had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" They were complaining against manna. Manna was this food that came down from heaven, as if nothing could get better than that, but they thought it could, and so they complained. But this plague comes against them as a result of this complaining that they have, and thousands of people die as a result of it, as a marker, if you will, as an example to us of God's opinion of complaining. He doesn't like it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And you shouldn't have any part of it. God had greatly blessed these people, and every day that they were not slaves was a good day. They forgot that. That's what happens. By the way, it brings us to point two. Complaining is caused by amnesia. When you complain, you forgot what you really got. And you forgot also what you could have been had God not done what he'd done in your life. Let's go to the next verse, verse 5. We remember, notice, they claim to remember, but they're actually forgetting a ton of stuff here. We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt. There wasn't nothing free for them in Egypt. They were slaves. Nothing was free. They did everything at the bidding of the Egyptians. And then not just a year or two, not just a decade or two, but hundreds of years they've been living this way. And boom, months into it, they've forgotten all this. That's where complaining comes from, amnesia. We all have it. We all suffer from it. We remember how we used to eat the fish for free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now our appetite is gone and there's nothing at all to eat except this manna. Poor little things. So you think entitlement's a 2017 thing, guys. It is a sin. It is a corruption of the human heart. That's what it is. That's all it is. It is a corruption of the human heart. Complaining is caused by amnesia. Sometimes we get so dissatisfied with our lives, we think about the good old days. Well, they weren't that good. Rose-colored glasses, you're looking back there, you forget who you were and what you were and what God delivered you from. And the amnesia is causing your complaining attitude. And you need to wake up, because you've forgotten what things were really like and what they could have been. Complaining is caused by amnesia. A third thing. Complaining is, this is a biggie. Complaining is a denial, ultimately it is, of God's sovereignty. That's the bad news. Complaining is a symptom of discontentment. Complaining is a symptom of a very deep spiritual problem. Here's the spiritual problem. Failure to trust God, and thus failure to submit to his providential will. And that is a failure, guys. And there's not a bigger failure out there for you. How can I fail in life? Fail to trust God and submit yourself to his will. There you go. You can make tons of money and do all kinds of stuff, but you will fail in life if you don't do these two things. Don't fail to trust God or submit to His providential will for your life. Murmuring and grumbling is nothing more than simply being dissatisfied with the way God's handling stuff. Would you really say, would you be willing to say that? I'm dissatisfied with the way God's handling my life. Some of you may be, I mean, that may be you. I'm glad you're here. You need to be in church, man. Dissatisfied with the way God's handling your life, so do you realize how many options there are out there? There could be a lot of other things He could be doing with you. Starting with hell, first of all, let's start with hell. You could be there, and you're not. Well, there's a plus. That's up, isn't it? Everything's up from there. God could be doing a lot of things, but when we complain against God, when we complain at all, we're effectively complaining against the sovereignty of God. We're denying His sovereignty. God's not in charge. Well, I would never say something like that. Well, really? Look at this verse. Ephesians, well, not that one. Let's try that one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. According to part of this verse, according to His purpose, who, God, speaking of God, who works all things, how many things? All things. There's not an exception to that, is there? There's no exceptions. Who works all things after the counsel of His will. God's in charge. He has always been in charge. He's never been anything other than in charge. And He will always, 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 always be in charge. He works all things after the counsel of His will. So when we complain, we're complaining against the one who's in charge. And who's in charge? God is. You don't want to be complaining against the one who's in charge. You don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying your life's perfect, and I'm not saying that you could say what's going on or what's happening in your life is good. I'm not saying that the Bible in any way says that evil stuff is good. It never says that. But is it too much to ask for you to accept a place that God has placed you, even though it's a place maybe of suffering, and say, well, if this is God's will for my life? I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get out of it or whatever, but I'm just saying, does it always have to be good for it to be from God? Or can you not find example after example in the Bible of people who suffered at the hand of God, the will of God? Or maybe, here's a thought, maybe the whole universe doesn't revolve around you. How about that one? And that your happiness may not be the top of God's list today. Is that okay? Is that okay? Would you give Him permission to do whatever He wants to with your life? By the way, He doesn't need your permission. But it'll be better for you if you'll give Him that, because you're going to go either way. We've talked about this before. You either go kicking and screaming, or you go happily, but either way, you go. This is a ride that you're on, and you're not in charge. But I know who is. He is always in charge. He always is. And so when you complain about your circumstances, when you complain about the economy, when you say about the state of affairs, when you complain about the weather, you're ultimately complaining against who? The one in charge. That's who. I guess we're in a better place to judge the future in current circumstances than He is. Really? So you're going to cross-examine God's decisions? You know, I don't think you should have done it that way, God. Here's the things that you should have done. Wow, I wouldn't want to be you. That's what you do when you complain. That's what we do. We complain, we're focusing on our frustrating circumstances, and I'm not saying they're not frustrating, but we're forgetting that there are bigger fish out there to fry. There are more important issues than your happiness, honestly. To God and to you. It may be that in your suffering and difficulty, there are things happening. You're going to die anyway, aren't you? You're going to lose it all anyway. So how about this? How about in the short life that you get to live, that you're going to lose and you're going to leave it all behind, that in that life you bring glory to God, so that when you step out of this life, you have something to reminisce over about how great God did the things for you. Because it's all going to end. It's all going to end. When is it going to end for you? Do you know? I mean, either this may be it for you. This may be your year. So is it okay for God to be glorified in your life, whether good or bad, blessing or curse? Is it okay? Because He's definitely in charge. I want to show you some people who had a reason to complain but did not. Acts chapter 16, the previous verses, tell us the story of two individuals by the name of Paul and Silas who were missionaries. They had sold everything, given up everything, left their families, gotten disowned by a lot of people that they had loved and trusted prior to this, in order to serve the God that they now believed in and the message of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And they were doing it faithfully at the risk of their own lives and property, paying their own way. No churches supporting them. These guys were just going out there, and they had crossed over the Dardanelles, if you will, over into where most of us are from, the European continent. They were over in Greece now. They'd gotten what they call the Macedonian call. They were in Macedonia now, and they were in the city of Philippi. And they were preaching the gospel, and this little girl had been tagging along with them. She was demon-possessed. She could supposedly tell the future through this demon, and demons can't tell the future, but they can just tell you stuff about your life that will mess with your head. And that's all this little girl was doing, and they cast the demons out of this little girl. And the people that were running this little girl as a business, as a sham, they lost their income because no more demons to tell secret stuff to. So they go and they lie to the magistrates in the city, and they get Paul and Silas, these great servants of God, risking their life and money and all they have. They get them thrown into jail. But notice first happens, then the crowd rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And then after that, they're thrown into jail. Now, these guys have something to complain about. They've been serving God faithfully, giving up time and treasure and talent and everything that they had in order to serve Him, risking their lives daily. You would think they would get a little break, don't you think? They should have cast, in the way, if we had been right in this thing, if they had cast a demon out of this little girl and the whole town came to Christ. That's not what happened. They get thrown in jail for doing a good deed. Now, like they say, no good deed goes unpunished, right? You ever been there? You ever complained about it? Yeah, me too. These guys had stuff to complain about, but notice what they do. But after midnight, Paul and Silas are in the bottom of this jail, and nothing like our jails, let me tell you. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Is that how you would respond to that? Is that how you would handle that? This is textbook, by the way. You want to know, how do I respond to adversity in my life? Here you go. This is the way you do it. Literally, textbook. This is how you accomplish it. This is the way that is approved by God. There is no place in your life, there should be no place in your life for complaining. You got no right to it. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's not in any way right. It's not in any way blessed by God. It's not in any way approved. These guys, textbook example of how do you respond to adversity. Textbook. So number four, complaining. First, number three, complaining is denying the sovereignty of God, that God's not in charge. They believe God was in charge of this, that God allowed this to happen. And hello, that's exactly what happened. There's nothing happened that God doesn't allow. There's not stuff happening out there that God says, you know what, I didn't know that was going on. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible's in charge, always in charge. Never anything other than in charge. And so they, knowing that, recognized that this was the providence of God allowing them to be blown in jail because there's something more important than possibly their happiness. There's a ministry going on here, and whether they live or die, jail or free, that God accomplishes this ministry through their lives. They were good with that. And so their response was, as you can see. So the denial of the sovereignty of God is not a good thing. Notice what else it does. Number four, complaining is an expression of unbelief in the Word of God. It's an expression of unbelief in the Word of God. Do you want to do that? Is this in your Bible? That verse? Was this in mine? Romans 8:28. If it's still in yours, maybe you should check. Romans 8:28. And we know. That's such an assumptive verse, isn't it? Such a passage. And we know. We may know this, but we don't practice it, maybe. We know that God causes all things, not all things are good, but He causes all things to work together for good for very specific people, to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. We know this. Do you know that? It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. We know that God causes, not all things are good, but He calls all things to work for good. So it may be bad right now, but you know, because this verse is true, you know how it's going to end, don't you? It may not be well right now, but it's going to end well, isn't it? Why? Because who's in charge? You see? So, if you complain, what are you saying? You're saying that that's not true. That's what you're saying. You're saying he's not in charge and that he can't cause all things, all, how many things? All things, good or bad, right or wrong, curse or blessing, that he can't. I guess if you're going to assume he's not in charge, I guess you've got a lesser God anyway. So he most definitely cannot cause all things to work together for good. But if you've got the God of the Bible who is in charge, that he can cause all things to work together for good. It's the only way he can. That's who he is. All things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So, you know, baseline question here. Do you believe the Bible? Do you actually believe that it's true? Because complaining is effectively saying that you don't believe it. Complaining should not have a place in your life. Complaining is a number five. It is contagious. Numbers, we're in Numbers, but I'm just going to put it on the screen for you. Numbers chapter 14, verse 36. A little bit later on there, we were in chapter 11. A little bit later on, they come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Been there. Right on the border of Israel. Still is today. They camp there after a couple of years being out of Egypt. They camp there. They receive the Ten Commandments. They receive the laws and promises of God and the direction of God for the people. And so now they're on the edge of what God has promised them. God tells Moses to appoint spies, and they send a spy for every tribe of Israel. There's 12 tribes, so they send 12 spies, and they all bring back the same report, but different evaluations. Two guys by the name of Joshua and Caleb bring back a report of, yep, there's giants in the lands and there's walled cities and there's all kinds of stuff in there, but we can take them because God is with us. And that was right. Delivered them from the most powerful country in the world, the Egyptians, through a body of water in which they came through dry as bone and killed the whole army. Certainly God could deliver them, right? Correct evaluation of circumstances. The other 10, The majority isn't always right, guys. They're just not. The other 10 bring back the same report, but with a different evaluation. As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, they came back and complained. Why has God brought us here to kill us on the border of Israel? Why wouldn't he have left us there? Our lives were better as slaves. Complain, 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 complain. They turned the whole congregation against Moses and against God. Over a million people. So you got over a million belly achers. They were on their way to the promises. And then all of a sudden, boom, they turned into all this. Let me ask you something. The influence of a few, right, over the many. What happens in a dark neighborhood when one dog barks? Don't be the dog that barks. Don't be the one that starts it. Most of them don't know why they're barking, right? That's what makes me so mad. You don't even know why you're barking, Fifi, or whatever your name is. You're just barking because the rest of them are barking. That's what happens. One person starts complaining, and that spirit of complaint starts spreading, you see. Don't be the dog that barks. Don't be the one that starts stuff that is not good. Complaining doesn't fix anything. It amplifies everything you don't want it to, exasperates, spreads frustration and discontentment. There's nothing good about it. Accomplishes absolutely nothing of benefit. Number six, complaining is contagious. Number five, number six, complaining hurts us in our testimony. Well, this is a big one. This is a massive one. Because for what reason are you here, Christian, other than the testimony of God's Son, Jesus Christ? Why shouldn't he answer this question, kill you right now and take you to heaven? Tell me, let's say he's going to ask that question. Give God a reason to leave you here. There is only one reason why you're here, and that is the testimony of what we're supposed to be. And if your life is live in such a way that you're not giving a testimony, a correct testimony of Jesus Christ, then why are you here? Why should God leave you? Notice what complaint does for us. Do all things, this is a verse we quote to the kids. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. How many things? All things. There's no exceptions here. You don't get a free meal ticket here. There is no carte blanche. There is never a time in which you should be complaining or grumbling. Because again, every day you're not in hell is a good day. this is a good day. Praise God. I don't care. The whole world can fall down on my head, but I'm not in hell. This is a good day. All things without grumbling and disputing, so that, emphasis mine, you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. This is not something God needs to know. He already knows this. This is the world that's seeing this. So that you will prove yourselves in this world blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. The only way to smudge, one of the ways to smudge that light is to, and notice, in order to accomplish 15, we can't do 14. 15 is predicated, verse 15, on us not doing what it says not to do in verse 14. Do you agree? So don't do that, because it will ruin the rest of it. I had a very interesting experience years ago, and the further I'm away from it, the better. But I had a jury duty here in Cameron County, and I've lived here for going on 17 years, and so I got called up, and I guess my time's coming around again. Got called up for jury duty, and we were sat in a room about the size of this room and about as many people as were sitting in this room. We were all sitting in tables and chairs, and they were, of course, you know, trying to ask us questions. And, you know, my answer is always, you should kill all of them, and I think we should reinstate, you know, hanging and all this stuff just to get out. I'm really not that way. But, no, I really don't. But I had a guy next to me who was almost like that. I had a guy come sit next to me who was, by his own statement to me, and I was sitting down next to me 10 seconds, I found out he was a believer, and he found out that I was a pastor, of course, a believer. And he begins to basically announce himself to the entire room that he was a believer and he shouldn't be there. He began to complain about the judicial system. It's crooks, nothing but crooks. It's rigged. There is no truth here. There's only righteousness with God. And, I'm, you know, there's a part of me that kind of agrees with that, but I'm not going to say that. I have ministry to do, people dying and going to hell, I should be in ministry. I mean, of course, I got the same kind of ministry. But this guy literally was vocalizing this in the room. And I was sitting next to him, and I was thinking, man, I do not want to be sitting next to this guy. He did it for so long and so loud that he got called into the courtroom by himself in front of the judge, who, by the way, charged him with contempt of court for the way that he acted and fined him right there on the spot. He had every bit of it. By the way, all to the glory of God, right? That was his attitude. Suffering for Jesus, don't you know? No, you're suffering from being a total knothead and misrepresenting Christ for complaining in the attitude. Who would want to be you or one of you? Who would want to join the church or whatever you're coming from or whatever ministry you're part of? As far as I was concerned, if I had not been a Christian, I would have never become one because of that guy. Man. When we complain, we misrepresent who we really are. By the way, I told you to remember the story of Paul and Silas and what took place there in the jail. Remember, they didn't complain, even though in my estimation of things, they had everything to complain about. But they had a textbook response, praising God in the jail. And, of course, if you know the rest of the story and we fill it in between the place where we read before and the place where we are now, God just sent this earthquake and all the doors sprung open to the jail and all the chains fell off the arms and the legs of all the people, not just Paul and Silas. And the jailer who was upstairs saw the doors open and saw the chains off of the people, pulls out his sword, going to do Harry Carry on himself because that's what they would have done to him. If anybody escaped from there, they would have killed him anyways. He's just going to save them the trouble. And Paul and Silas call from the belly of the jail, get him to come down there and say, no one has left, we're all still here. And the guy comes down, by the way, he's been hearing the praise service they've been going through also, sees the hand of God move over this jail, runs down to the bottom of the jail, it says, he calls for lights and rushed in and trembled with fear and fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he had brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What an incredible question. What must I do to know the one who has changed you in such a way? Talk about people who should have been complaining, but they were not. What a testimony. You see, like, God's got bigger fish to fry, doesn't he? You're going through a hard time. This is not about you. You're down here for a purpose and a mission. And it maybe is because of your suffering and difficult circumstances that in the praising of God and thanking him, instead of complaining, that others will be brought to Christ. So that when you step out of this life, which, by the way, is going to end, right? We're going to lose it all. We already said that. You are going to lose it. You step out of this life, you have something to rejoice about, those, even in the circumstances that you were in, who came to know the Lord. But I submit to you that if they had been down there grumbling and complaining, this has not been the question he would have asked them. He would have been, "Sirs, what must I do to not be one of you guys? Thrown in jail and gripe about it, and man, who would want to be one of you?" But because they had a textbook answer, this guy came to Christ, even in their difficult circumstances. What a testimony. We've got no business complaining. Again, every day we're not in hell is a good day. Lamentations. We saw this at the very first. Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. So what do we do to fix this complaining in us? So here's what we do. So complaining has moved into your life. You need to move something else in. Here, this is what will fix complaining. Trust. Trust. I trust that God's in charge. I trust that His word is true, that He works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I trust Him. I trust You, God, in my difficult circumstances. I trust You in the trials that I'm going through. I trust You because You're in charge. And because You're in charge, you've allowed this to happen in my life, and I don't understand it. And I would love to have an explanation, but even if You never explain it to me and I never understand, I trust You. That's the biblical model You have set before You. That's exactly what is recommended in the Scriptures. That is the way to respond. That is it. And so you've got to decide. Are you going to choose that? Well, let me ask you this. So you've been complaining. How's that working for you? It's just fixing everything, isn't it? Everybody loves to be with You, don't they? Just such a bright spot. It's not working, and it won't work. And you won't like the outcome of it. When we choose to trust in the face of deep disappointment, complaint has less space to maneuver in our lives. They offset each other. So trust evicts complaint. Complaint evicts trust. It just does. Trust and complaint are incompatible roommates. They inevitably push one another out. They just do. So here's one little ditty, and we're going to be done. When thou hast thanked thy God for every blessing sent, what time will then remain for murmurs and lament? Let's pray together. God, I thank You that You are working all things together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. God, I ask You to forgive our entitled attitudes, to forgive our complainingness. I mean, maybe it's not vocalized, but it's in our hearts. Cleanse us, God, from unrighteousness, we pray of this. I pray, God, that we would say today collectively, Lord, we would just simply say in our hearts, Lord, we trust You. We would love to know an answer for why we're going through what we're going through. But even if You never tell us, we trust You. We believe that You're good. We believe that though everything may not be well, that things are going to end well because You're in charge. We trust You, God. We place our trust in You today. I pray that this season would be marked by the demonstration of our trust in You. And our lives may not be, our worlds may not be going well, but in the midst of it, we know the One who's in charge, the One who can be trusted always. May the world see that in us, we pray in Jesus' name.